Well, good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus. I am so glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. And I'd just like to welcome those watching on the live stream as well. So as we worship God this morning, tell God what He means to you, just like David did in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 13. May you be praised, Lord God, our Father Israel, from eternity to eternity. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and majesty, for everything in the heavens and on earth belongs to you. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Riches and honor come from you. You are the ruler of everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is in your hand to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we give thanks and praise your glorious name. So tell God what He means to you this morning as we worship. On Saturday, Betty Miller passed away. So I would encourage you to keep her family and friends in your prayers. Well, we will make sure you have information as plans are made. So will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us daily. Whether we are going through good times or bad, you are in control of every situation. Your will is always done. We ask you to draw us closer to you. Fill us with your Spirit and bring us into your presence. Father, we lift up Betty Miller's family and friends as they mourn her loss. Pour out your peace and comfort upon them and just draw them close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you please stand and join us as we worship God this morning?
Jesus, and
next song, if you did not put your offering in already, you may do so, and the children may come forward for the My Coins count.
Father God, we thank you that we are here today in your house, worshiping you, seeking wisdom and knowledge from you, and also offering our praise and worship to you. Father, we thank you for your blessing to us, and we offer back but a portion of it to you to support the pastors and the work of the church within both these walls and beyond. We thank you for the presence of your Spirit here today. And we ask that you would be with Pastor Tony today as he shares with us some practical wisdom and understanding. We lift this time up to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Oh, my.
He is our everlasting God. God, and that you are our hope and strong deliverer. Lord, I pray that you would be with Tony this morning as he brings us your message. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd invite the children to come forward. Looks like we got a very energetic group this morning. That is good. So this morning, we're going to look at moderation. Oh, sorry, that was too loud. Let me tone it down. Moderation. There we go. Self-control. So Proverbs 25:16 says, "If you find honey, eat only what you need, otherwise you will get sick from it and vomit." King Solomon is the writer of this verse, and God gave him great wisdom to rule over his people. So I have an example of this, and hopefully it'll help you to understand what moderation means. Yes. Oh, well, it can be part of it. So what is this?
Apple.
It's an apple. Is it good for you to eat?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Do they taste good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're kind of juicy.
Yeah, they are. They kind of make a sticky mess sometimes. So if I eat that whole apple, is it good for me? Well, except the core. If I don't eat everything but the core, is it good for me? Yeah. So if I eat a second one, is that good for me?
No.
Yeah, two's not bad. These are small apples, and you could eat two. But what if I just keep eating another apple after another apple after another apple?
And
yeah, that's what's going to happen. Your stomach is not going to feel so good. See, if I eat this many apples, that's not so good for me anymore, is it?
No.
No.
It's not any good. If you eat too many apples, you can get
a bite. Yeah, so you'll get sick to the stomach. You'll get too much sugar and too many vitamins. So I want you to remember something. Something that is good to eat might not be good for you if you eat way too much of it, right?
Yeah.
That's part of what moderation is. The same thing goes for watching electronics. Uh-oh. Watching some electronics is okay, but if you're watching it all day long, is that good for you? No. See, parents, you just heard that. They said it's not good, so next time they want to watch it all day long, tell them, well, you just said it wasn't good for you, so there you go. So is playing outside good for you?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But you can't have too much of it.
Yeah, you can't have too much of it. It might not be good for you if you don't take a break and you don't eat your lunch, and you don't drink enough water, and you don't put some sunscreen on, so you get sunburn. But if you take a break, and you eat, and get enough water, then playing outside is really good. It's really good for you. So, remember, to ask yourselves, is it good for me to get that extra snack? Or is it good for me to watch electronics all day? Or when you're tempted to do something for a very long time that it's good for you in a little bit, ask yourself, is it good for me? And if you're not sure, ask an adult. They'll pretty easily be able to tell you. But the Bible is full of a lot of good wisdom. So, remember, to practice moderation, okay? So I'm going to have a prayer for you guys. And then you guys can have a snack and go back to your seats. Will you close your eyes while I pray? Heavenly Father, pour out a blessing on these children and draw them close to you. I pray that each one would know you as their personal Savior, Jesus. Help them to learn moderation. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may have an apple, which you can save for later because they are kind of sticky and messy and they have a core to them. And there's a pack of gummies you can have as well. There's more apples in here. See, we're practicing moderation. You get one good snack and one not as good snack. So, good morning. I would just like to greet you again in the name of Jesus, and to any guests or visitors who are worshiping this morning, welcome. I would like to thank you for your prayers for my family and myself this week as I prepared this message. See, when you pray as a congregation for your leadership, it makes a big difference. It really helps a lot. You might not think it's a big deal, but it is. See, when you prepare to preach the gospel of Jesus, you are entering a spiritual battle. Every time. And most pastors, if not all, will attest to being in a spiritual battle, either before they preach the message or after. There's usually some spiritual warfare that goes on there. So keep praying for us each day as your leadership. We are continuing our sermon series on spiritual disciplines for my walk in this world. Today we're going to look at moderation, or self-control, or practicing self-discipline. This sounds like a real exciting sermon, doesn't it? There's a lot of practical things in here, a lot of things that we can learn and focus on every day. So moderation is being under control, not swinging from one end to the other. It's being balanced in the middle. To have moderation, you have to have self-control. You can develop good habits by practicing self-control, and if you practice moderation, bad habits will not take hold in your life. Unless it is sin you're trying to moderate. Sin is all bad. A little bit is not good for us, and we do not want any sin in our lives. So do not moderate sin. Get rid of it completely. My first thoughts on this topic were directed towards food and drink. That's like the first thing that popped in my mind. Proverbs 23:20, which it's amazing when I'm talking about my message this morning and what we talked about in Sunday school about Proverbs, and we talked a little bit about Solomon. And so it's amazing to see how the Holy Spirit is working, that those messages lined up. Proverbs 23:20, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. Yes, overeating and getting drunk are not good, and they should not be done. But this morning, I'm going to focus more on 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Don't you know that runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. We have the Olympics coming up, and these athletes are under strict training programs. When you are training for a sport, you exercise regularly so that your body is in shape to perform at its highest level. There's also a mental side where you have to strengthen your mind. When your body is hurting and it doesn't feel very good, and your body wants to stop, but your mind says, no, we got to keep going. You got to strengthen your mind. When you train properly, you will lessen the chances of being injured. You eat healthy to fuel your body, to build strong muscle, and recover quickly. You do all these things to compete, to try to win. People all over this country and world do this every day, whether they're a professional athlete or not. What everyone is seeking is a perishable crown. Sure, they might be remembered by some stats they had or an accomplishment they had. Their name might go on a trophy. But other than that, it fades away. People don't remember who they were. But we as Christ followers are pursuing Jesus and living a life that honors the Father. And we need to be self-controlled, practicing discipline. We need to do this in everything that we do. We are running a different kind of race. What we are seeking lasts for an eternity. It does not perish and it does not fade away. These verses in 1 Corinthians 9, they sound like a lot of work, and they may be impossible to obtain. Self-control in everything. That sounds like a lot of work. That can be very difficult. So how many of you make a New Year's resolution? Raise your hand. Not many. Sometimes, maybe. How many of you stopped making New Year's resolutions because they fail all the time? Now we see more hands. Why do they fail? Because it takes discipline, it takes work, it takes self-control. To be self-controlled in everything, it takes a lot of effort. And we're going to look at some different areas that we can be self-controlled and disciplined as Christians, spiritually and physically. So we're going to start with the spiritual side. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts. We need to learn to use them. Just like physical exercise, spiritual exercise is very important. See, if you don't use them, just like muscles that aren't used very much, they become weak and fatigued and they can fail. Not because God fails, but because we did not learn how to use what He has given us. And the same thing will happen to our gifts if we do not use them. They can become weak and fatigued. So whatever your gift is, use them. Seek people who have the same gifts as you do. Learn from those people. And take a step of faith and go use your gifts. And if you don't see immediate and miraculous results, keep seeking God and using your gifts for His glory. If you do that for His glory, you're going to see amazing things happen, no matter what your gifts are. And it may seem like small, simple things, but those small, simple things can impact people in very large ways. Reading the Bible takes self-control and discipline. We need to read God's Word. And let me clarify this a little bit. Reading the Bible is always good. It's always good to put it in your mind. But if you're just checking the box day after day, I got my reading done, and we're not letting it sink into our hearts and in our minds, it's not going to be as beneficial as it could be. So dig in, go deeper, and study God's Word. It takes discipline. I struggle with this, digging in deep into God's Word. It takes effort. To some, this is easy. To some, this is difficult. And it's going to take a lot of dedication. Just like those Olympic athletes who have trained years, maybe their whole life, just for that one event. Keep spending time in God's Word. And our next topic, prayer. It's the same as reading your Bible. You got to spend time in prayer. And the hard part, listening. Turning off your mind and listening for God to speak to us through His Holy Spirit. There are times when this is easy. And then there are times when this takes real effort and real work and you feel like you fail all the time. Trying to stay focused on God and not letting your mind just wander off to one thing, to the next. But the more we practice, just like practicing our spiritual gifts, the more we do it, the better we get at it, of keeping our mind in control. When we do these things, God will do amazing things in our lives. There's many other spiritual things that we can look at, but we're going to look at some physical things now that we can do to practice moderation. We need to be self-controlled in our speech. What we say can pull someone to Christ or push them away very quickly. Harsh words from our lips can hurt. They can cut very deep. And sometimes those cuts are that deep that those people either walk away from Christ or say, I don't want Him at all because of the way you are acting or talking. We may offend someone and not even know it. So we really, really need to be careful what we say and how we say it. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. What we say is very important. We can build people up or we can tear them down. And something else that ties into our speech is our actions. Are we practicing moderation? Our actions speak volume to our character. Are we showing the love of Christ? Will people believe what I say because my actions back it up? These are a few practical ways that we can practice moderation. So why is it important to practice moderation? Well, let's look at Solomon. He had just about anything anybody could want. Did he practice moderation? No, he did not. He had 700 wives. He lived in great luxury. God had blessed him generously. But in that, he didn't practice much moderation. It says that King Solomon surpassed all the kings of the world in riches and wisdom. His throne sat on top of 6 steps, and each step had a gold lion on each side. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll get a picture of Solomon. He tried everything, and in the end, he saw that he was led away from God because he didn't practice moderation or self-control. Here's an area that you don't need to practice moderation: your relationship with God. See, if we serve God with our whole heart and follow what He has for us each day, we will not be led astray. So now we can go to Romans and look at another reason moderation is important for us. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Yes, I'm reading the right one. Therefore, let us no longer judge one another. Instead, decide never to put a stumbling block or pitfall in the way of your brother or sister. Look at this verse from the point of moderation. If we are harsh with our words, if we put a stumbling block in front of somebody, if we're not living out what we confess, we're putting a stumbling block in front of somebody. And this pushes them away from God. We can be a stumbling block to someone when we do not practice moderation. You know the saying, actions speak louder than words? We're supposed to be passionate about Jesus and living for Him boldly. This includes moderation in our lives. The disciples are great examples of this. They were put in prison. They faced many tests and trials. They showed self-control in their lives. Yet they were bold for Jesus. And moderation is not an excuse to not be bold and proclaim the name of Jesus. It's a way we're supposed to live. So in closing, when we follow God's plan for us and we practice moderation in the way we live, we can avoid judgment against ourselves. Judgment from God. We will draw people to Christ when they see how we act and react to situations. Practicing moderation shows love to others, bringing us and them closer to God. Moderation is something that we can practice every day of our lives in many different ways. So I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about this. Do you have some areas in your lives that need some practice in moderation? I want you to just think about that for a few seconds. If you have some areas, take note of it. Ask God to help you work on those areas. Practice moderation in everything that you do. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, help us to practice moderation in our lives daily as we seek you. Let the people around us see the difference in our lives. Allow us to draw them to you. Let them see how we act so we can proclaim you through our actions. Show us areas where we need to make changes in our lives. Thank you for your love and mercy that you show to us each day. And again, I just pray that you'll be with Betty Miller's family and friends as they mourn her loss. Give them your peace and comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite the worship team forward.
All right, so as a friendly reminder, tonight is our first night of Vacation Bible School, and it will be running until Wednesday night. So for parents who have children ages 3 and who have finished grade 6 this year, please bring your children out to Vacation Bible School. If you haven't registered yet, there will be registration tables down in the basement each night, so feel free to register them for Vacation Bible School. And as we kick off VBS tonight, continue to be in prayer for the teachers, the crew helpers, the kids that are going to be coming out. In your mailboxes, you should have seen a blue piece of paper that has the list of all the helpers that are going to be helping out this week, so you know exactly who to pray for and what roles they will be participating in. And as always, continue to be in prayer that God will speak into the lives and the hearts of the children that will be here as we track down the one true God. So look forward to seeing your children out tonight.
Well, this morning, I just want to stand here and thank you all as a congregation. Last Saturday was June 5. We had the Music in the Park, Flowing Waters did. And I was grateful for those who came out. There was people from this congregation. There was people from the community. There was people from other churches. So I just want to thank you. And not only that, I also want to thank you that you are a congregation that gives. We ask 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, if there's anybody that wants to participate in making Rice Krispies or chocolate chip cookies. And I was overwhelmed by your generosity. It actually got to the point where Anita said, we don't need any more. So thank you for being a great congregation that is willing to give. In saying that, we are also August 6th, 7th, and 8th. We are having a community fun day at the park that Saturday. Down the road here, we'll share some more things that are happening that day. But hopefully we can all participate in that. And there'll be plenty for everyone to do there. And also on that note, with the way June 5 went, I rescheduled for next year for June, the first or second week of June, of doing the same thing. The Flowing Waters is going to have a Music in the Park, and I went ahead and went out on a limb and scheduled for August also, so hopefully it all goes good. But I want to leave you guys with one thing. Saturday, Jaime Santiago is a guy that runs Restart over in Strasburg, and he would have shared his testimony, and there were some guys that came front and asked for prayer, and I thank you to those who were from this congregation here that helped pray over those guys. But Jaime said one thing in his testimony that just stuck out to me, and a lot of it was his home life, with his father being an alcoholic, and there was so much strife between his father and mother, and so much fighting, and God brought him out of that. And I thought of that because Brian and Anita and I have sat down with people in this community and prayed with them. And there's one specific girl that I remember, when she opened her heart to us and shared to us, she says she remembered her dad running after her mom through the house with a butcher knife. So I want you to think about stuff like, not actually think about it, but think about it because there's things happening in this community that are in four walls that nobody sees. And there is a lot of hurt out there that we need to get out and go after. And I could stand and tell you many other stories, but that was one that stuck with me, that we need to do our part in getting out and sharing the gospel. So thank you.
Yes, so put those August dates on your calendar. Mark them off so you can come out and help. I just want to thank Amanda and all those who are helping out with the Bible school. They put a lot of effort and a lot of work into this, so just thank you very much for that. I do have some other announcements for you. the Bowmansville Backyard Bash. They still need several hundred packages of chips, pretzels, and etc. Sweets, cookies, Little Debbie stuff, tasty cakes, granola bars, anything that's individually packaged so they can put them with the meals would be very helpful. Please bring them here to the church by next Sunday at the latest. That's Sunday, June 20th. And put them downstairs in the kitchen on the counter and they will be picked up. You can drop them off anytime during the week and they'll be picked up. So there's a need for you as a congregation. You can help out in that way. Just a reminder that before Sunday school, our coffee and snack and fellowship time is up and running again. The water fountains are open, and the library is unlocked. We're going to leave it unlocked. We want people to go in and use it. We want people during the week. You can go in and check books out and stuff. We're going to be leaving that unlocked. So please use the library. It's there. And if you're not sure how to sign something out, talk to Sheila or anyone else who helps out in the library, and they'll give you some instructions. So will you please stand for this parting benediction? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. God bless you. Go in peace. You're dismissed. Have a great day.